Good morning. It is a wonderful, wonderful day today. I pray that things are well with you, and I thank the Lord that He is our God, and He is the one that maketh things well with us. It is a blessing to be able to address you this wonderful morning. I thank the Lord for this wonderful day. I am Pastor Clarence William Page of Trinity Baptist Church, High Point, North Carolina, and the Light to Guide Our Feet ministry. And I thank you for taking the time to bless yourself by listening. It is my intent that every listener is blessed, and I believe that the blessing comes through the Word of God. And thus, I offer healthy portions of the Word of God, and I pray that you will find them very beneficial. I call your attention to the New Testament book of Romans. Romans chapter 1 in the New Testament. Romans chapter 1 in the New Testament. The reading begins at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Reading once again, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, and if you have your Bibles, I would ask you to turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 and following. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 32. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 32. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Almighty God in heaven, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, please bless every person that participates at whatever time in this service by listening, whether at the initial offering of it or at some other time by other means. Cause your words to have the effect upon them that you want. And Father God, you are in the blessing business. I thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen. I call your attention, my friends, back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 in the Holy Bible. And particularly to verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. It reads as follows. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Let me read that once again. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Once again, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. And that's verse 19. Verses 18 and 19 of Romans chapter 1. Let's commune together in worship using the topic, the wrath of God. The wrath of God. Over the years, I have had some concern about some theologians who, in my opinion, seem to present God, particularly in the New Testament and in the dispensation of grace, as being a toothless tiger, In the Old Testament, people would tend to indicate that God was someone to be truly feared. But there are some who seem to feel that in the New Testament, we don't have to worry too much about the wrath of God or the displeasure of God. And that's what I would like to discuss with you, primarily by just reading Scripture and having you make up your own minds. Sometimes I think we spoon-feed people too much. But people are wise. People are intelligent. People read novels, and they don't have to contact the author to find out what the writings mean. But oftentimes people come to the Bible and they'll say, well, I don't understand this. But yet they read novels. And most of them never contact the author of the novel, whether true or fictional. People seem to be able to understand novels, but the Bible, which explains itself generally, people will say, well, I don't understand that. I have a sneaky suspicion that some people don't want to understand what God is saying. And so I want to read some scriptures that mention or refer to or insinuate the wrath of God. And let you decide whether or not God in the New Testament, the God we serve now, whether he still has wrath. Many people seem to indicate, well, in the Old Testament, oh, he was like a tiger, but he had teeth. But in the New Testament, he's toothless. All he wants to do is bless you and be kind and good and loving. And he does want to bless, be kind and good and loving. But he also chastises sinners or our sin. He will chastise his own sons, those of us who are his children. But many people don't seem to take that seriously. Like children who have parents that they think will never chastise them. Back in the day, 50 years ago, parents would get switches and apply what they call corporal punishment or whip children. Now they've stopped doing that, and many children look at their parents as being toothless tigers because they know the parent is just going to say, well, you won't get this, or I'm going to put you in time out, or you can't leave your room for this or that. But the punishment is very different. But God has not changed that way. I contend that God in the New Testament is the same God of the Old Testament. Now he sent Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for our sins and to rise again for our justification. And Jesus did that, and we're his children. And there are great, marvelous, and magnificent benefits. But we need to also have a very healthy fear of God. And you may want to decide, well, what's the difference between the wrath of God and the chastisement of God? Maybe you want to consider that and say, well, Reverend, you're saying that God has wrath. Does he have wrath in the New Testament? We knew he had wrath in the Old Testament. But Reverend, does he have wrath now? Jesus has died on the cross for sins. And some would say he has no wrath. In other words, you would say God is a toothless tiger, so to speak. Powerful, but harmless. He doesn't want to harm you. But if you sin against him, you will encounter a response that might not be pleasant. Yes, Jesus paid the price for our sins, and that's another thing. Some people seem to be taught that, well, it doesn't matter what I do. Jesus paid the price for all of my sins. And so I can't be chastised and no wrath of God can come against me because I'm free. I have the liberty to do whatever I want to do, some people would say. Some who claim to be Christians. First of all, if you're truly saved, the Holy Spirit Himself will convict you of sin. The Holy Spirit Himself testifies of Jesus Christ. He is God, and God is holy. Jesus is righteous and holy also. And so if you're truly saved, you automatically have the Spirit of God in you, and you should know that God does not like sin. Well, let's take a look at a few scriptures, and I'm not going to try to spoon feed you. I want you to do your own research. You read novels, you read books, you read many other kinds of things. You read the internet, you read newspapers, some of you read magazines. You read many kinds of literature. You're very educated. And if you would read the Bible, you would be able to gain a greater understanding. John the Baptist, who obviously ministered before Jesus died on the cross, mentioned the wrath of God in Matthew chapter 3. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 3 in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 3, and in Matthew chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, let's look at verse 7. John, in his baptizing and speaking to the people who came to be baptized, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, John says the following. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? That's Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. I'll read it once again for you. This is the forerunner, John the Baptist, talking. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. Those were the words of John the Baptist. And he mentions wrath. The wrath to come. Let's look at Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. And we want to begin reading in Luke chapter 3. I would like to begin reading in Luke chapter 3 at verse 1. And read Luke chapter 3 verses 1 through 8. Luke chapter 3. Verses 1 through 8. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Licinius the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John the son of Zacharias in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And verse 8 says, John says, "Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." Reading once again, verse 8 of Luke chapter 3. This is what John says. "Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." So in verse 7, he talks about the wrath to come. In Luke chapter 3, verse 7, I'm talking about the wrath of God, and I want you from these scriptures to try to distill the meaning of wrath and decide whether or not you believe that God is a toothless tiger after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You wouldn't call him that in the Old Testament, but many people seem not to have the requisite respect for God now, the required respect, the respect that God deserves. He is God. He's Almighty God. He is not a toothless tiger. Let's look at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 35 and 36. John chapter 3, verses 35 and 36, if you would turn there. We often read from John chapter 3, but oftentimes we don't get to the last two verses. But in the last two verses, the Word of God is relating to Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And so in John chapter 3, verses 35 and 36, read as follows. "The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." John chapter 3, verses 35 and 36. And in case someone missed it, let me read it once again. John chapter 3, verses 35 and 36. "The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John chapter 3, verses 35 and 36. Let's look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And in Romans chapter 13, verse 4, and it's talking about rulers. It talks about rulers being ministers of God. That's governmental rulers. That they are ministers of God. And without reading, well, let's read at least verse 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4 in Romans chapter 13. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And so here we see that rulers operate under the authority of God, and they have the right to execute wrath upon those who do evil. So you may want to come back and read Romans chapter 13, verses 3 and 4. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6 in the New Testament. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather given of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Let me read once again. Verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. I think that bears reading once again. Let no man deceive you with vain words, For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. And I'm sure some of you would say, well, I'm not a child of disobedience. I am saved. And so he's not talking about me. And I won't go into that. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. If you have your Bibles, I would appreciate your turning there. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. And again, it talks about the wrath of God. It enumerates sins, various sins, because of them in verse 6, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And once again, you may say, well, I'm not a child of disobedience. But at least shows the wrath of God, and we're his children. And he can chastise us however he decides to chastise us. You may be one who says, well, God's wrath doesn't come upon me, but God's chastisement comes upon me possibly, and I understand that. So, Reverend, what's the difference between God's wrath and God's chastisement? Well, I'm not going to try to define it in this message, but I do want to read a chapter to you, and then I'll end this. And when you put these verses together, at the very least you will know, at the very least you will know that God does not play. God does have wrath. And just before ending this worship service, I will indicate another aspect or another proof paradigm of the wrath of God. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Our God is not a toothless tiger, so it is not wise to play with him. It is not wise to play with him. He is not a toothless tiger. He is Almighty God. He doesn't play, and I have sense enough to not play with him. God does not play, and I have sense enough to not play with him. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning reading at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let me begin that again. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning reading at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness, and darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched a mountain, it shall be stoned, a thrust through with a dart. Verse 20 again. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 20. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned, or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things which are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Read him once again. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things which are shaken. Let me start that again now. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 29. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 29. That last verse, let me read those last two verses. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Those two verses from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. I don't think the God I serve is a toothless tiger. Sometimes we can talk about in our sermons all the things that God will do for you. And we don't let you know that you need to fear God, that He is, as Paul says, a consuming fire when He has to be. A consuming fire. He's the great God. Oh, He loves us. Romans 5, 8 and 9 says, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. But that does not say that God will not punish us. That does not say that God is not a consuming fire. That does not say that we should not reverence God. That does not say that we should not fear God. And as you read the Holy Bible, even in the New Testament, if you read the entirety of the New Testament, and I recommend that as you consider the wrath of God, that you read the entirety of the New Testament. And I believe the Lord will help you to develop that reverence and godly fear that the Apostle Paul talked about in Hebrews chapter 12. The wrath of God has been the topic for this service. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank You for these scriptures. Thank You for being our God. Thank You for being kind and merciful. Thank You, Father God, for all You've done for us. Thank You for commending Your love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank You that much more now, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And help us, Father God, in Jesus' name, to remember what Paul said, that we should reverence Thee and have godly fear for Thee. I bless Your name and I praise Your name. Help us, Father, for I declare that You are not like a toothless tiger. You're full of love, but You're the just God. You judge. You own it all. You own it all. You own us. You made us. Oh, Lord, save those, Lord, who are the children of disobedience. Save them. Save them. Save them. And help us to be Your obedient children. And bless us. And bless us. And when they're saved, then bless them. Bless us, we're Your children, Father. Deliver us, Lord. Deliver us from all the tricks and traps of the evil one. And Father God, we understand thy chastisement. We understand that it's earned. But even in your chastisement, be merciful and kind to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Father. Amen. My friend, if you are saved and have not been reverencing God, if you have no fear for God, please read more scripture. You will come to fear God appropriately and properly. He is not a great terror, but he is a God that one absolutely ought to fear appropriately and properly. If you are a child of disobedience, you've never been saved, now is the time to ask the Lord to make you his child spiritually. One way you can do it is by saying, "O Lord, save my soul. O Lord, save my soul. O Lord, save my soul." Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he rose that you might be holy and just before God, that God might see not your filthy rags, but he might see the righteousness of his Son in you when he looks at you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Once you know that you are saved, contact a Christian minister and our ministry. Be sure to do that and go to a Christian church request and receive Christian baptism. Christian baptism is very important. The Lord will send people to help you. Let us look unto the Lord and be dismissed. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.